This is the Jude 23 Community Podcast. It's clarity for those who are curious or confused about all things Christianity. I'm Jeremiah Wood, along with Nick Hardcastle, and this is episode one. Nick, how are we doing today?
Oh, pretty good. I think we're about to have a lot of fun doing this.
I'm so excited. I can't remember, but how long have we been talking about wanting to do this podcast?
How long have we been talking, or like how long did you come up to me and say, hey, I think we're going to just do this podcast together? Because there's a little gap I think in between there.
Yeah.
Probably like 3 months, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we said we were going to do it right after the first of the year, and then the first of the year happened, and I don't know about you, but after the first of the year, my schedule seemed to just pack up. Like, it was just jam-packed.
Yeah.
So, but we made a time, and we found a way, and the Lord provided, and here we are. And so, yeah, episode one of the Jude 23 Community Podcast. Let me tell you just a little bit about who we are as Jude 23 Community. I felt a very deep conviction when I was reading out of the book of Jude, and I'm going to turn there right now if I can get there quick enough. And Jude is just one chapter long, but starting in, I believe, verse 20, it says this. It says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life." Verse 22, "Be merciful to those who doubt, save others by snatching them from the fire, and to others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even clothing stained by corrupted flesh." And so I know that sounds a little bit much, but this is essentially what I felt like the Lord was speaking to me, was that we were to create a community of people online, in person. I don't know what that looks like, but that we were to create a community of people, and that this community is meant to build one another up in our most holy faith, praying for one another, praying in the Holy Spirit, and keeping ourselves in God's love as we wait for the salvation and eternal life of Jesus Christ to appear. And in the process, we are going to be merciful to anybody who has doubts, confusion, curiosity. This is going to be a very merciful place to be able to discover the answers that you might be looking for. But here's where the kicker is in Jude 23, and this is where we get our name, the Jude 23 community, is that our hope and our desire is that we are going to save others by snatching them out of the fire, or snatching them out of the flame. And to others, we will help save them by showing mercy mixed with fear. And ultimately, that means the fear of the Lord. So that's kind of the vision of the Jude 23 community. And honestly, Nick, here's my thing, is I really wish that I could put that into a nice little tidy phrase that could just say all of that in one way.
Yeah. There's probably more depth there than can even be in like one sentence, but
I know,
you know,
it's not very good for marketing.
No, it's not. But you know what? Maybe by the time we get to the end of this, maybe by the time we get to Jude 23, we'll be able to figure that out.
And we'll break it down just a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so that's what the community is about. And so I guess the next question is, what is this podcast about? If that's what Jude 23 community is all about, keeping each other centered in the love of God and working out our most holy faith, what is the podcast going to be about? And frankly, why another Christian podcast? So Nick, maybe you can answer that one. Why are we doing another Christian podcast?
Yeah, I think it might be even specific to one another, just because a lot of our time throughout here, we're probably going to show that there's a lot of personality to this relationship that each of us have with God's word. But, you know, for me, honestly, I think that I have a calling on my heart to be able to share God's heart and love for others with them. I think that, you know, I need to be able to get out and to be able to kind of utilize this platform to help others understand that there is a lot that's given in the Bible that causes a lot of questions. But sometimes, like, pursuing those questions allows for clarity and growth. And whenever you can kind of do all of those three in unison with one another, you can really get into the Word like God wants you to have, so you can actually be in relationship with Him. I think that's kind of what it means to me.
Yeah. And that's really good, because I think that for a lot of people, there typically tends to be Christianity can sometimes just be so confusing. Like, mm-hmm. you're like, okay, I want to be a Christian, and so I'm exploring Christianity. And when you look at Christianity as a whole, it is absolutely mind-boggling on what direction to go, what should we do, what should I even think or believe. And oftentimes, as Christians, we have done an incredible disservice to people because we essentially try to help them drink from a fire hose, right? So we just mm-hmm. turn the hose on full blast and expect them to get a drink of whatever it is that we're serving them, and instead they just get blasted across the street by all the force.
Yeah, or we just try to introduce them to really the opposite of it half the time, and it creates, like, not even just confusion, but just like an understanding of, like, is this really what God is supposed to be about? So right. hopefully we can utilize this to be able to, you know, show the others that there is a deeper way to, like, investigating this relationship with God, you know? So I would, you know, like to understand, you know, Jeremiah, you know, specifically, whenever God put this on your heart, why was He kind of prompting you to also do another Bible podcast?
Well, I think there was just a very deep, I would say it's a mix of a burden and a conviction, because burden, because I have, the more I talk to people and the more I hear people's stories and what they're experiencing just within their faith or their curiosity about faith in Jesus and what all that means, their curiosity is almost always squelched by typically a well-meaning believer who's trying mm-hmm. to do some good, but in their zeal and maybe even being a little overbearing in some ways, they've really squelched that desire and that curiosity. And more people are walking away from those experiences, claiming to be hurt by those experiences. Yeah. And so I have a burden for people who are curious or who are confused, but don't know where to go for answers. And so I have this burden to really want to help people find those answers. And I think that at the same time, I have a deep conviction that those answers are always and only found in Scripture. And so here's the reality. When I was in my early 20s, I was the confused, right? I was the curious, and I was the one who was asking all of these questions. And a lot of times I would ask people these questions and there were no good answers. There were no good answers coming from people that I had genuinely trusted or who I thought had a good understanding of the Bible and could really explain things to me. And instead, I kind of felt like maybe I got pushed aside whenever I was seeking those answers out. And it was in my, boy, I don't even realize how old I was. It was in my early 20s. And I remember attending a church, and this church was just firmly founded on the Word of God. Like, that, if they had any mission and vision, it was, we're just going to learn the Bible, and we're going to learn it inside and out and know exactly what God is teaching us. And I remember I had only been going there maybe a week or two, and I didn't know anything about the Bible. Nick, and this is what's really crazy, is I graduated college with a ministry degree, but I was more educated in the things of systematic programming and organizational growth and leadership than I was in biblical literacy. And so I had this deep hunger to know the word, this desire to grow in knowledge and understanding of all things following Jesus. And this one pastor at this one church who loved the Bible, I could bring any question to him at any time, whether it be in the middle of the day or late in the evening. I could walk into his office unannounced. It shocked him a couple times. Like, what are you doing here? I was like, I have a Bible question. And he always had the right answer. It was contextual. It was theological. And he taught me how to feed myself with the Word of God. And that's kind of the conviction I have, is I want to help people learn the different skills tricks. They're just methods. Yeah, just methods necessary to be able to feed themselves with God's word whenever they have an answer.
Yeah, that's good. I'm just kind of shocked that you said that you were shocked whenever your giant self walked in and the preacher was scared. You know, I mean, like, yeah, I would be a little frightened.
People aren't going to be able to tell on a computer screen, but I'm all of like 6'4", 6'5", 300 pounds, and I could be a little intimidating walking into a room.
Yeah, I've been strong armed to be here. That's for sure. No,
no, this is good. Hey, but let me ask you this one, Nick. What is it that you're hoping to accomplish through this podcast? As we dive in to God's word, as we dive into scripture, what are you hoping that this podcast, what's the fruit that you're hoping would be produced in this podcast?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think partially your answer that you had a second ago is joint into the fruit that I'm looking to be able to come out of this. Is like, whenever I grew up, I think that there was that, whether it was my internal definition or just the definition that I was kind of taught, I felt like that there was, you know, like two sides to God's word. There was, you know, the Old Testament, mean, angry God. And then there was New Testament, and Jesus showed up and then he loved us for some reason. And then we're all kind of, you know, good to move forward with him as long as we don't mess up. But I think really whenever you start understanding the Bible and growing it more, you actually learn that God's had a specific definition of us from the beginning. It started in the very, very beginning, and I'm sure very soon. But he's also had that same definition of the world. And I think that really if we can help each other and help others understand that God's definition of themselves and of the world is good and is really rooted in truth, they can also find themselves and their way in the story. So hopefully, you know, by the time we can get to, you know, some way into this, we can at least try to start convince people that, hey, maybe you should start reading the Bible a little bit differently, asking questions, getting into the word, and seeing where you find yourself in God's definition and his story.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so good too. And I think that as we progress with this, I think that's going to be, and I'm excited. And if you're watching this on YouTube or you're listening to this on one of our podcast stations, I want you to share with us in the comments and let us know what it is that you're experiencing and how your eyes are being opened and what kind of awakening maybe that you're experiencing going through this podcast with us. Because Nick, I think that's going to be exactly what people will experience, because that's what I experienced whenever the Lord started opening my eyes through all of this. And it's just been beautiful. So here's what to expect from this podcast as we progress. I know that to start off, Nick and I are going to just walk through the story of Scripture. And we are going to start at the beginning. And when we start at the beginning, we are going to start in Genesis. And we're just going to make our way through the Bible. And the plan is anyways, we want to explain as best we can all the helpful things along the way. And what I mean by helpful is there's no like hidden secrets of the Scripture. There will be little nuggets that will be fun to explore and kind of walk through and do things like that. But our goal is to make the story of Scripture as plain as can be so that we can begin to understand how the story from beginning to end works in tandem with itself, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, both the era that Scripture was written in and how it applies to our life even today. And so again, you heard it in the intro that our goal is to provide clarity for those who are curious and those who are confused about anything and everything Christianity. And so that is my hope as we walk through this podcast. Nick, are you hoping to see anything else as well?
Yeah, no, I think you pretty much just, you know, hit the nail on the head with a hammer. It's just really also helping find maybe not even just the nuggets, but trying to sit there and show that the story builds, like you were said, like you brought up, from Genesis all the way to the very end. And there's a lot of things that we have to kind of put ourselves in that building story and like where the context of it is to be able to actually sit there and understand it, because there is some confusing things in there that if you take it out of context, it can be pretty inappropriate or off. But also there's some really cool things that we'll find the further we get into it, that it's also often about getting further into the story and then looking backwards and looking backwards to understand, you know, the answer or the teaching or what's really the point of going on.
So one of the things that's important for us to understand is that there is actually a technical makeup of what the Bible is. And I think that it's going to be important for us to answer that question just from the beginning. What is the Bible? And so if you're looking from a technical standpoint, the Bible is made up of several different things. Mm-hmm. And let's post this up like that. So the Bible is actually 66 different books. And those books had been compiled together to make one big book. So some of them are books, some of them are letters, some of them are poetry. But there are 66 books that were written by 40 different authors, right? And those authors were not contemporaries together. It was 40 different authors over the course of 1,500 years. And not only were those 66 books written over 1,500 years, but they were written from three different continents. They were written in three different languages. They contained zero contradictions, and they contained zero historical errors. And so, Nick, I don't know about you, but when we look at the Scripture and we look at Bible and we realize, okay, so there's over 10,000 events that were recorded in the Scripture, and it just seems like more and more as science and archaeology and history have gotten better, it's just proving these things over and over again to be true. But I think most people probably have no clue that the technical makeup of the Bible is even this compounded.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you walked up to somebody and said, here's the Bible, do you want to like read this? It's probably a little intimidating.
Right.
And that's okay. If you said, I read 66 books different than this, I might think that you're crazy. not a big reader. But
Right.
It just shows how cool and how unique of a God that we have that this work could actually come together.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely correct. And so I think whenever we talk about the Scriptures, it's good for us to understand the technical makeup of the Scriptures. There's also a little bit more organizational makeups, like which books are considered historical books, which books are considered poetic books. We can get into that as we go along the way. But for right now, I wanted to make sure that everybody understood what the technical makeup of the Scriptures really are. Nick, tell us a little bit about what most Christian churches believe about the Bible.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, if you just kind of have the standard Christian church, they're going to believe that it is the authoritative word of God, which that is what it is. And that's really how it's actually been able to even be in existence, and for there to be zero contradictions in it. Not only do they show that even though it was written by 40 different men, the only reason that these 40 different men could piece one work together without any holes in it, it has to be divinely inspired by God. And I believe that most Christian churches would keep that at their core belief, that it's not only an authoritative word, but it has to be inspired, and that it is the absolute truth. And some would say it's the flawless truth, which literally just emphasizes the fact that there is like no nuance for interpretation or a clear understanding. And it is sufficient by itself.
Yeah. And that's going to be interesting to get into, because from a lot of people that I've talked with, a lot of times people, like, that's going to be the hurt that they carry, is that, again, some well-meaning believer trying to be truthful maybe used the word of God in a way that ended up being hurtful rather than helpful. And this idea that the Bible has no nuance to it, I think has really created a lot of tension and a lot of damage in a lot of people's lives. And so, again, if that's created some confusion or some curiosity in you, that's why we're doing this, is we want to be able to bring some clarity. So in the Jude 23 Community Podcast, we are going to approach understanding the Bible from a narrative perspective. We are going to lay it out and show you from beginning to end how the story of God is just that. It is one clear story from the beginning to the end. We are going to start from beginning to end and share how the story of God is one unified, coherent story. And it's going to explain how God is working with his people to accomplish the work that he desires to accomplish in each and every one of us.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, if we can accomplish that, we're going to at least be able to sit here and say that we are trying to live out your goal with the Jude 23 podcast. And I really hope that people can not only just even get a deeper understanding of the Bible, of the Word of God and the story of God, but also just get a deeper understanding of like how reading the Bible can be fun, especially whenever you can actually put yourself in the place of who actually is participating in this and what all is going on and everything like that. And you know, like, it's kind of crazy how some of this stuff that we just take from the past and try to shove in maybe even to context today, and just try to say that, yeah, it has to be fit in a box. I think the Bible Project guys, I guess I'll shout them out. If you're going to listen to another podcast besides ours, they're not a bad one. But they're just trying to sit there and say that, you know, sometimes people try to, take the word and try to maybe misinterpret it or misapply it into their own lives. And when you do that, you actually run across some really crazy things. Like, what are you supposed to do in your current day? Like, you get to the law that says, don't eat the flesh of a goat and its mother's milk. Well, okay, that's no problem. I can't do it. But it's like, maybe you should actually go back and understand why that was the case. So if we can accomplish that by the end of this podcast, not figuring out why the goat was eating in its mother's milk, but try to give some clarity and context to our listeners, I think we'll feel accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's right. I think that'll be good. Let's go ahead and kind of steer this plane a little bit and kind of get down to the meat of things in this podcast tonight. And first of all, I want to start with some questions, because it's going to be imperative for us to understand the answers to these questions if we're going to understand what the Bible really is and really all about. So, Nick, first question is this: what is the greatest revelation that we have of God?
Well, that should be Jesus.
Right, right. So Jesus is the greatest revelation that we have of God. Now, if you were to ask just your average church-going Christian, what do you think they would say the greatest revelation that we have of God is? They're probably going to say the Bible Well, the Bible is the greatest revelation that we have of who God is. And if I were to ask the average Christian, what is the greatest revelation that we have of Jesus? Mm-hmm. They're probably going to say the Bible. But the actually the greatest revelation that we have of Jesus is going to be the Holy Spirit. Yep. And then we could ask the same question, what is the greatest revelation that we have of the Holy Spirit? And people would stand up and be like, ah, ha, ha, I know now. It's got to be the Bible. And the reality is no, the greatest revelation that we have of the Holy Spirit is the work that we see him doing through his church. Mm-hmm. The work that we see the Holy Spirit doing in and out of the lives of everybody in his church. And so most Christians would say that the Bible is the greatest revelation of these things. But that was never the purpose and the intent of the Bible, right? Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all reveal each other, and together they reveal to us what the church actually is. Yep. So if the church reveals who the Spirit is, and the Spirit reveals who the Son is, and the Son reveals who God is, and the Father reveals himself in all of these different things, then what is the Bible even about? Well, here's how I want us to understand the Bible in the context of this podcast, and that is this, is that the Bible is one unified, coherent, and ongoing story of God's redemptive work in the world. Let me say that again, is that the Bible is one unified, coherent, and ongoing story of God's redemptive work in the world. So Nick, let's unfold that a little bit. Explain to us a little bit what it means to be a unified story.
The thing about it is it's just unified means that the story of God, although it was written over like the span of 1500 years by 40 different authors from multiple countries speaking multiple languages, it's the same truth from the beginning to end. And I think we're going to start unpacking that really quick as soon as we get into it.
Yeah, I want to bring that slide back up real quick. This is mm-hmm. This is nuts. Like, if you think about this, to be unified, right, you got 66 different books, right, written by 40 different authors over the course of 1500 years in three different countries, three different languages, all these different things that mm-hmm. should create a massive amount of disunity, and yet still the scriptures from the beginning to the end is unified.
Yeah.
It's unified. It's, to me, that's just baffling, unbelievably baffling. Scripture is not only unified, but it's also coherent. And this idea of being coherent is this, it's full of individual parts, and all of its individual parts are logical and consistent with one another. And so not only is the Bible unified, but it's coherent. It is working together, and it makes perfect logical and consistent sense from beginning to end, even over the course of 1500 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of amazing. And the one thing that I think is really important to unpack is that last one that you said is like ongoing. So you're telling me that the Bible didn't end in the last page.
Right, right. And that's what people tend to think, like, okay, last page of the book, story's yeah. over. But the story doesn't end. It just continues to go, right?
Yeah. And wouldn't that be sad? Like, you got to the last page of the Bible and you're like, it's over. Like, if you sat down and you started reading from Genesis 1 and then you get to the very end of Revelation and you close the book, like, wouldn't that feel just the opposite of the truth of God, that it just stopped? So that's it's awesome. Could you like unpack that last bit of like, how's God's redemptive work in the world? Like, what do you mean by that?
Right. So like we said, the Bible is one unified, coherent, and ongoing story of God's redemptive work in the world. The whole concept of being of God's work in the world is being his redemptive work. Mm-hmm. And we'll learn more of this once we get started in Genesis. But the idea is this, is that God's story is a story of how we were birthed, by God into relationship with him. Sin caused that relationship to dissolve. And then God has continued this story of constantly partnering with his people to bring us back into relationship with him. All of the world, all of creation, at all times in history. So
yeah,
that is how we're supposed to understand scripture in this podcast. One unified, coherent, and ongoing story of God's redemptive work in this world. So, Nick, let me ask you this question as we continue to press on. Why do we need to learn the Bible? Like, if the Bible's so important, what makes, we know what it is now, but why is it important for us to learn the Bible?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one thing is, and you kind of hit on it just a second ago, is understanding how we fit in relation with God. So let's just sit back and say that this is all his creation. So what is our point in it? And the point, just to get to the simple truth about, like, not having an existential crisis here, is sitting there and say, is our point is to partner with God in his work, to partner in his restoration, to partner in his goodness, to partner in his plan, to partner in with him in all things. And the more that we can get together as a community and work in that partnership, we can really do what God's story ultimately ended up being. And that's restoring humanity back to a God-centered relationship. But to be able to do that, we have to know where the story's been accurately and where the story is going. Otherwise, we're going to be kind of lost on our roadmap of how to get there.
Right, right. And so if we don't know what the story has been, because it's kind of like the concept of history repeating itself, right? Yeah. Because God is consistent. God is not wavering. He doesn't think one thing one day and turns around. He has been the same. And the scriptures tell us this, that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He was before all things, and in him all things hold together. Why? Because he is a radically consistent God in our life. And this idea of the story of God, is radically consistent as well. It is radically consistent about who God is, and it's radically consistent about who we are as people. And if we have to know where the story has been, if we're going to accurately know where this story is going to be going from this point forward. And this is what makes the scripture so important to us, is that the more we know about the story and where the story has been, the more we can begin to set our compass to where we can predict the story is going, because we have an accurate understanding of what God has done in the lives before us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I mean, in all honesty, it's kind of like, why the Bible? Like, what do we need to learn from it? It's because we've honestly been given the answers. And if we can go back and just realize the fact that we're not going through this all alone, that there's something in there for us to be able to get us in any situation, like, what part of life could be so detrimental or so hard to overcome with the fact that we have a God who's so unique that he would provide us just the answers to the test and say, here you go, take it.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's spot on. I would say too, the other reason that that is important to us, why we need to know the Bible, and we're going to learn this later on, is because as Christian, there's actually some very serious consequences for us when we neglect the story of God. Nick, you and I are very fond of Marty Solomon in the Bema podcast, right?
Oh yeah,
and He wasn't the first person that I heard say this, but it was probably at one of the most impactful points in my life, which made him saying it probably the most impactful to me. But he said that the story of this world is juxtaposed to the story of God. And we see that in Galatians 5, right? Mm-hmm. The flesh and the spirit they can't work together. You will either, Jesus said, you'll love one or hate the other. Paul says that they are opposed to one another. And in the Bema podcast, Marty Solomon says that the story of this world and the story of God are juxtaposed with one another. And you will find yourself in one story or the other. And the only way that you find yourself in that story is how intentional you are in being part of that story. And the way that we are intentional in being part of that story is understanding the attitudes and the habits and the expectations that are involved in being a part of that story. Now, for us as individuals, frankly, to be a part of the story of the world is just to default in the life. Does that make sense? Like if we just allow our life to default to do whatever we feel like doing and whatever we feel we think is right is going to be right because we felt like it was right. When we default to our own self, we will always find ourselves in the story of this world. But if we choose to learn, know, understand, and live out the story of God, then we will find ourselves in the story of God. And the consequences that we have as believers and as Christians, the consequences that we have if we neglect the story of God, one, it can honestly, it causes us to be immature Christians, and just immature in our faith, and it makes us incredibly susceptible to all kinds of deception. The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians talks about this, that when we are susceptible to deception, our lives tend to get tossed around back and forth, like if we were lost at sea and the waves were just tossing us back and forth like a storm. When we are susceptible to deception, we make ourselves victims of constant deceptions of our immaturity. And we tend to believe anything that gets thrown at us. And honestly, the worst case scenario is when we don't know the truth, when we don't know the Bible, when we don't know where the story has been, and we don't know where the story is going, we can easily find ourselves in bondage to the very thing that Christ has came to set us free from. And when we find ourselves in bondage to those things, the worst state of our existence is that we find ourselves actually loving the consequences more than loving God. And so the reason why we need to learn the Bible and know the Bible is so we can know where the story has been, we can know where the story is going, we can find ourselves in the story, we can be insulated from the deceptions that seeks to shipwreck us. I know I got a lot of like ocean metaphors today, but that we will be insulated from the deception that seeks to shipwreck us from the story, and we can learn to love God more than the things of this world because we know what the story is and we know where we're at in that story. I get excited about this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly a cool deal. I can't remember if it was Marty or if it was the guys at the Bible Project, but I think one of them actually said it best. It's also when you learn yourself in God's story, when you learn like how you fit into it, you're actually becoming more human because God built humans to be in relationship with him. And the more and more that you kind of just give into the world, you're actually becoming less human. And it seems like an odd, like opposite thought of it. But if you really are made to be humans, which we were created to be, the more that we're in God, the more human that we are. And the less world that we are, the less kind of flesh that we are, which that's the big fight. And I think one thing that, you pointed out was like this helps you to be able to kind of figure out your way between the world and ourself and the story. But it's the further you get into the Bible, you see is it's an ongoing decision. And the more and more that you can dedicate yourself to that, the more you can train to be able to overcome whenever deception or the shipwreck occurs, how to be able to kind of get yourself back on course.
Right. Well, and you know what I think the greatest deception is, and I've seen this over and over again. I think there's two great deceptions. I think the first great deception is just that, a denial in and of itself. God does not exist. And I think the second greatest deception is, even if God did exist, he wouldn't love me. And those two deceptions have wreaked havoc on people in my generation, in your generation. I think I still fall in that Gen X generation. You're still a millennial, still a young buck, and not quite a Z, but you're still in that young millennial phase. But that's the thing that has wreaked havoc on all of our generations, and even more so today than ever before, is that God is not real. He does not exist. And even if he was real and did exist, he wouldn't love me anyway.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, there's such an identity crisis in the world, right?
Oh, huge, huge. Yeah. And that's what I think we're hoping to correct in this podcast. Why another podcast? Why this podcast? Why Jude 23 Community? Why are we even here to do this? Because we want to share the story. We want to accurately know the story. And we want to know what it means to find our place in the story. And that's who we are. And that's what we're here for.
Love it.
Yeah. So I think that's it. Man, boy, that was 45 minutes right on the dot. That's perfect.
Well, don't tell them that, because then they're going to have to go be like, oh, it's only actually 30. These liars.
These liars. We had to edit some things out. That's true. But it'll be good. Well, hey, thank you again for joining Nick and I on the Jude 23 Community Podcast, Episode 1. We are attempting to bring clarity to those who are curious or confused about all things Christianity. Nick, any final words before we get out?
No, that's it. Just happy to be here for the ride. And we don't have Twitter handles, so I guess we'll just call it good. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll get communication chains out there soon enough. But until then, God bless. Thanks for joining us. And we will see you again next time.